The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right, welcome back to the show. Great to be with you guys. And thanks again for joining us this week. As always, we appreciate you sharing a piece of the weekend. And again, sorry it's not Medved reruns or Rush reruns, but hopefully we can provide you some good information and hopefully it's entertaining as well. Hopefully we hold your attention. So we got a great show planned today, and I'm excited to be back because we haven't been on the air the last 2 weeks. I got preempted by the Cougars. And, you know, I apologize to all you WSU fans out there. And I mean no slight to the Coug fans out there. But, you know, I thought I could hold up. I thought a financial show like ours could hold up against Cougar games. But who am I kidding? Right? You got those rabid fans. By the way, I love their coach, Mike Leach. That guy is funny. Good football coach, too. But anyway, want to get to the show. I've been off the air for 2 weeks, and if you've heard the show before, you realize that, you know, unlike a lot of these other financial shows that are on the weekends, you know, we're not scripted. I'm not reading off a script. This is, you know, I'm coming every week with what we're looking at, with how we're managing clients' accounts, with the concerns we have, with the ideas that we've got, with the questions that we've received from radio listeners like you, from existing clients, from potential clients. And I'm bringing it to you on a weekly basis. So hopefully it's enjoyable. Hopefully it's informative. And like I said, if you've heard the show before, you realize I've got no shortage of words or topics to discuss. That's never been my problem. Unfortunately, if you're my wife. she gives me a bad time all the time. You know, she's like, man, you need to go record another radio show. I can't listen to this stuff. You're killing me. So I'm already trying to prep the kids, right? So you got to have an audience to discuss this stuff with. But anyway, got a great show planned. 2 weeks worth of stuff we've saved up. And we're going to start, as always, with the market update. You know, we do not time markets, but when we're managing people's wealth, especially in bizarre times, which we are living in, it's something we need to pay attention to. We need to take the, again, we're not trying to move in and out of markets, but conditions in markets should play a role in how we're invested. And if you don't believe that, go look at what the average, and I'm not denigrating anybody. I've worked at three of the big brokerage firms on Wall Street, and truth be told, the vast majority of the advisors out there are good people. They really are. And the companies are good too. Now, you may have something against the Wall Street banks, and I can sympathize with that, and I have issues with them as well, but it really has nothing to do with the advisors. They're good guys. Okay? But go look at what the projections are of what your portfolio. Maybe you've got 60% stocks, 40% bonds. Most people don't anymore because they don't want the allocation of bonds and the market's been on fire. And so what we're seeing is that allocation is shifting a little bit, more like 70% stocks, 30% bonds. But go look at the averages that portfolio, call your advisor, tell them what are the averages, what should this portfolio be making, and then track its performance over the last 20 years. Go back to 1998, 1997. Okay, on average, when we look at those portfolio allocations, they've performed about somewhere between 50 to 60% of the expected long-term return. Okay, that's a big deal. That's a big miss. And why? Why is that? Well, a lot of reasons, right? We had the tech collapse. We had the, you know, the real estate collapse. We've talked to it great. You talked about it great length on this show. Equally, at the same time, with the real estate collapse, we also had the bond collapse, right, which hurt long-term returns. But it is advisors, we need to be looking at that, especially as money managers. We need to be looking at how that divergence has occurred in the last 20 years, because here's the deal. When you're planning for retirement, you can't take a 20-year anomaly. You can't underperform. For instance, if you're 45, you want to retire at 65. If your portfolio has performed 50% lower than its expected rate of return over the final 20 years of your working life, that's a problem. That's a big problem. And then we've got to look at why it's performed 50% below its long-term average or its expected rate of return. Well, you know, that's pretty simple, right? We had the two big losses in 1999 and 2008. Why did we have those losses? Well, because we had bubbles, right? Why did both bubbles occur? It's a lot of reasons. You can't trace it back to one thing, but I can tell you that unprecedented levels of debt and record low interest rates spurred on by the Federal Reserve have played a large role. Every time the economy slowed down, really since Greenspan took over the Fed in the 80s, the Federal Reserve has countered with lower interest rates, believing on their economic models that spurs economic growth. Does it spur economic growth? Yeah, in the short term it does, but it doesn't create real absolute growth. When you spur economic growth via interest rates, which when you think interest rates, when you think we're going to lower interest rates to spur the economy, you should immediately think we're going to make debt cheaper. We're just making debt cheaper. We're making things more affordable to buy. And when you do that, you're not creating new purchases. Interest rates don't drop and somebody doesn't go out and buy two new cars instead of one. Now, they might buy a car 6-8 months, a year earlier than they planned because of interest rates dropping. You know, for instance, maybe they got a year left to pay off their other car and they've got a 5.5% interest rate on the car, and all of a sudden the new car is offering 0.0% and they're sitting there doing the math and they're like, wow, I can actually trade this in and have a lower monthly payment. I'm going to go do it now. Right? You're not going to create a new purchase. You're just going to suck that purchase forward. And that game can only go on so long because at some point in time, you got to pay the piper, right? You got to pay the bill. And that's one of the primary reasons we've seen record low economic growth over the last 10 years. The only time like it we've seen in the United States. And again, this isn't new stuff. We cover this on the show all the time, but I think it's important to revisit it to set the stage and to look at the context of the environment that we're living in. And so the only period of economic growth that we can really size it up with is the Great Depression. Now, the biggest difference between now and the Great Depression is we've got all asset classes, virtually all asset classes, at or near all-time highs and all-time high valuations. Now, does that mean that we're predicting market drop? No. And again, we've talked about this before, but I can't reiterate enough. And I apply this to myself as well. When you hear people predicting, you know, most of you know this, but just don't pay attention. Nobody knows. Buffett doesn't know. Peter Lynch didn't know. Stanley Druckenmiller doesn't know. Julian Robertson doesn't know. You know, Stevie Cohen doesn't know. David Tepper doesn't know. You know, these are some of the best money managers with the best rates of long-term return, period. Right? They don't know. Nobody knows. But what we can do is put it in historical context. Right? And what we do know is a couple things. A, when valuations, and for those of you that are sitting there looking for the market update, we're kind of doing amalgamation. But truthfully, other than inflation perking up, there hasn't been a lot of new developments. But I do think it's always important to revisit where we're at, right? It's always important to keep that context, you know, front and center. Without context, we're blind, right? You know, take a hard left. Well, hard in relationship to what? I've got three different lefts here. Right, it's all about context in every aspect of life, and investing's no different. So when we're talking about valuations in marketplaces, and I sit down with clients all the time and they go, you know, I want to buy the S&P 500 ETF. If I buy that, and a guy I really respect, by the way, really respect, Dave Ramsey, and I can't recommend him enough to clients, but I've got a bone of contention with him on one little issue. I see people all the time buying these S&P 500 ETFs and mutual funds based on the S&P 500. And I say, what's the thought behind that? Well, if I buy that, I could experience some volatility, but I'm going to average 11%. I think Dave Ramsey says 12 with dividends reinvested or whatever. Okay, so is that the case? Well, here's the answer. And this is going all the way back to the Great Depression. Okay, this is the real answer. I encourage you to go home. Don't just take what I'm saying for gospel, but I encourage you to go home and check into this, especially for you that are more actively involved in your money management. Look back 90 years and check that out. Has it averaged 11%? Yeah, over the last 90 years. And it's averaged a little more since 1980 to today. Okay, but when you invest, has a big impact on what your annual rate of performance is. Now, for those of you in the audience that are 30, 25, 30, listen, the most important thing you can do is overfund your 401k and not pay attention to market fluctuations and just pump money in there. Okay, that's the most important thing. So I'm not saying that doesn't matter. What I'm talking to is the people that are within 10 years of retirement, where retirement is a fixed date on the calendar, where we know it's coming. And we need to pay attention to things like this. And a big one is the performance of the S&P 500. What do we expect our portfolio to generate those final 10 years? And then what do we expect it to generate in terms of returns in retirement? That's a huge deal. That's a big part of how our retirement's going to go, right? How we're going to fund it. And what we see is when you're invested in the S&P 500 at levels anywhere close to where we currently are now, and quite honestly, guys, there's not a lot of historical comps. The only two times we've been in this neighborhood of valuations is 1999 and 1929. But when you've bought over the last 100 years at valuations that are close to this, your 10-year expected return going forward has been more like 3.5% to 4% a year. That's not devastation, but we need to look at that. We need to consider different alternatives. And valuations play. They don't tell us when to buy and sell, but they should play a role in how we're positioned, what we're looking forward, you know, how much risk we're taking. And the flip side of that's true, right? 2009, stock markets plummet, valuations go to the floor. If you invest in periods of time like that, your expected returns over the next 10 years are bigger. So don't go anywhere. This show is going to be dedicated in large part to the specific tools we use to combat that problem. Because we all know that stocks are the greatest wealth builder of all time. We want the exposure. We just want to make sure that we're doing it and we're not costing ourselves a 40 or 50% haircut right before we retire or while we're in retirement, right? So how do we keep that exposure, lower that risk? We're going to talk about some of those tools. We got a conversation with our most famous client, Dory Monson. We're going to talk about a term you need to know called absolute return. And I know there's another radio show referred to that or another guy on the radio that talks about that. That's an actual investing term and it's something everybody needs to know. We're going to talk about a new asset class and we're going to talk specifically about one of the tools we use to combat that valuation problem and still get our, you know, our solid growth. So that's the show. I really appreciate you guys for joining us. Stick with us. Got great information coming up and we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008 could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, Go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, here we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. And for those of you that missed the opening segment, talking about valuations and how to combat them, gave a market update, talking about inflation perking up. And there was one thing I forgot to mention. It's something that I think we should all be paying attention to, okay? This is a point of a lot of debate. But again, we talk a lot about context, right? And I consider myself a bit of a history junkie. I very much believe in the old Mark Twain adage that history doesn't always repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And that might not be exactly what he said, but that's the gist of it, right? And I believe that history, you know, those that don't know their history are bound to repeat it. I think history is always a key to the future. And so when we talk about the economic hardships, the record levels of debt, the, you know, close to record low run rate on growth over the last 10 years, you know, the most common question I get all the time is why is everything so high then? And again, I'm talking to 7070 or 770 listeners here, and most of you know. But one of the easy things to sit there and target, right, when you're trying to pull something apart like that in financial markets is, you know, what's the reason for this rally? What's the reason for the drop? What's the reason for, you know, whatever is going on? And what we like to look for is we like to look for the one thing that is not the normal, right? And we look for a correlation. And that, you know, there's a saying in our industry, correlation doesn't equal causation, meaning that sometimes things are correlated, they're similar, and that doesn't mean that one caused the other, but those are things that we want to pay attention to. And so you've got this bizarre mix of record low growth, record high asset prices. What is the other thing that's outside of historical norms? Well, it's the actions of central banks, right? They flooded the markets with cash, driven interest rates to 3,000-year lows. Record high bond prices, you know, record low debt acquisition costs, record low debt servicing costs. And we've talked about that at great length, and I don't want to get into that. But if we're not paying attention to what central bankers are doing, then we're not paying attention to everything we should. Right? Whether we like it or not, whether we think they should be taking the actions and the direct interventions into markets that they're taking, and rest assured they are. You know, the Bank of Japan right now is a top 10 shareholder in 90% of the stocks on the Nikkei. They own 60% of the outstanding ETFs or the shares of ETFs trading on the stock market exchange. European Central Bank is dominating the European corporate bond market, which is why we see these bizarre anomalies. And guys, this isn't... When I'm, you know, people often hear me say that things are outside the norm. They're like, well, that's his take. You know, my account's still going up. If you want to know, if you want to see proof of this, are things odd? Are things outside the norm? Go look at sovereign bond rates. Go look at some of the countries in Europe who currently have interest rates. Remember, interest rate and risk rate are synonymous, right? The higher the credit risk, the greater the interest, right? Go look at some of the countries that are teetering on insolvency and that have really bad balance sheets, 150, 160% debt to GDP, and have lower yields than U.S. government bonds. Is that a function of a free market? Absolutely not. There's nobody in the world that would prefer Italian sovereign debt over the United States, you know, government bonds. So why are they lower? Why is that risk rate lower? It's because the European Central Bank's in there buying the bonds. It's artificial. So if you don't believe about the influence that central banks are having, go look at the biggest market in the world, sovereign debt, and go look at the anomalies that absolutely do not make sense. And if free markets were still in control of those markets, those rates wouldn't be anywhere near there. They just wouldn't. People aren't idiots. They don't really think Italian debt is less dangerous than U.S. debt. The European Central Bank is just in there driving their borrowing rate down because if they let their borrowing rate float, they wouldn't be able to roll the debt over. I think if Italy's rate, their prime borrowing rate went to 6.5, which is, guys, that's still historically low. Italy wouldn't be able to make the debt, their debt payments at 6.5%. So all of this brings me back to my original point. What does this point to? This points to that central banks are playing a much bigger role than they ever have historically, and we need to pay attention to it. We need to look at it just like we look at company valuations. And I bring this up because there's a lot of talk right now about the new new Fed chair coming in. A guy by the name, I believe, is it Kevin Warsh? Let me pull this up here. I think it's Kevin Warsh. It's Kevin Warsh. And he's got some history. He's worked at one of the Federal Reserve banks. I'm not sure exactly which one. I got to do a little more research on him. This just came out. But turnover in the Fed chair is a big deal. What is his outlook? Does he like more or less regulation? These are all things that we're forced to by default now. We're forced to pay attention to them because central bankers have made themselves such involved actors in the world economy. And what does that mean if he appoints a new Fed chair in this environment? I don't know, but it's something that we need to watch. And it's something that I'll give you an update next week on the show. I'm going to do some research on Kevin Warsh and dig into his past and try to figure out what kind of guy he is. But guys, this is just the new world we're living in. We're going to have to pay attention to central bankers. We're going to have to research them like we do stocks because we got to know what's going on. And the last 9 years are perfect examples of that. So I went on a little bit longer than that. I can never, anytime we get on the subject of central banks, I kind of get on my soapbox, so forgive me. But the thing I want to talk about, we're going to talk about some of the new tools that we're using, right, to protect clients and to make the gains and to get us up to those historical averages that we need to. And there's something that I'm referring to as a new asset class. And this goes right into the client question of the week. And I've received it several times, but it stuck with me. And the question is, Zach, what do you think of high-frequency trading or algorithmic trading? And that's a big question. Okay, so first of all, let's define what it is. Algorithmic trading, for the mathematicians out there, they probably think it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's basically a computer program or a computer model that is tapped into the internet, that's receiving real-time data from markets, economic data, companies, all this kind of stuff. And it's taking all that data and it's comparing it to, you know, all the scenarios over the past 80, 90 years where those types of indicators were at similar levels, right? And then at the same time, in real time, it's sitting there going, okay, when things lined up like this in the past, maybe it was last week, maybe it was 5 years ago, maybe it was 20 years ago, these are the things that work the best and we're automatically going to tack toward those. Okay, that's algorithmic trading as it relates to portfolio management. The other kind of high frequency trading, which is based on an algorithm too, it is looking at, you know, short term trades. There's a book written by it. For those of you that have an interest in high frequency trading and algorithmic trading, there's a book out there called Flash Boys that talks about this, and it's written by the same guy that wrote The Big Short, Michael Lewis. And if you've seen the movie, I'd still encourage you to read the book. He's a phenomenal author and he's written a lot of great books. Liar's Poker is another great one about the rise and fall of Solomon Brothers. But anyway, he talks a lot about high frequency trading and the role that it plays. Now, why am I bringing this up? Why are we talking about computer-based trading? Once again, it's a new development in markets that we need to pay attention to. And the reason we need to pay attention to it is we've gotten to the point now, and depending on where you look, you're going to get different answers because people, you know, add it up differently or look at the numbers differently. But the basic gist of it is this: high frequency or computer based trading is making up somewhere between 60 to 75% of the volume or the trading volume on the New York Stock Exchange today. And so an analogy I use with clients is if all the drivers on the road, regardless of the rules of the road, but if all the drivers on the road, 70% of them are using the same set of rules or the same set of instructions or directions, you may not want to use them, but you need to know them. And you should probably integrate those rules or those instructions or those directions into your driving plan, right? Or the way that you drive or the way that you handle things. To do things like avoid traffic, to find the quickest route, right? And it's a great analogy because when we're thinking of high frequency trading, really we're talking about traffic. Where are trades coming in? What pace are they coming in? You know, hey, you know, how are they bidding up the stocks? How are they buying them? And so to combat this, we've added to the vast majority of our clients an algorithmic trading portion of their portfolio. And for those of you that have strong feelings against it, I completely sympathize because up until about 3 years ago, I wouldn't even consider it. But then you've got to look at the track record of algorithmic trading. And there's been some phenomenal ones. The one we used has had incredible performance. It didn't lose a dime during 08, 09, and it's basically matched market performance. That is not a recommendation. I'm not going to give you the name of it. If you would like the performance data from that portfolio, give us a call, though. 866-779-RISK. Didn't mean to throw that in there, but yeah, give us a call. I'll email it to you. It's not a big deal. But it should be, you should consider it about, now, obviously, what you pick and who you listen to. You know, it's, we really researched this for about 3 years before we started adding it to client portfolios. But when 70% of the volume on markets globally are being traded this way, it's something we should consider. Should we put everything in it? No, and I'm not prepared to do that, and I'm not going to do it with our clients' money. But should it be a part of the portfolio? In a lot of cases, yeah. And the performance speaks for itself. And, you know, for those of us that are out there worried about Skynet and taking over, look, I get those fears, and I don't think they're all trumped up. I think they're realized. But the truth of the matter is, that's the way the world's going. And we need to integrate it into our plans to some degree. How much? All depends on who you are, what your goals are, right? It's, there is no simple prescription to that. But it's something we need to consider. It's something that we need to look at. And like I said, when you're looking at the right ones, the performance really speaks for itself because there's some outstanding. The algorithmic tool that we use, the performance is, it's incredible. And it's cheap, very cheap. So anyway, we got to get moving on. We've still got a couple great topics left. We're going to talk again with Dory Monson. We're going to talk about another investment term that I want people to understand. It's absolute return. And we're going to talk about another tool that we use to protect clients and help them grow their money and have exposure to the market but limit the downside. Risk management. Know your risk radio. That's what it's all about. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. Stick with us. And for those of you that don't know, give us a call. We're always doing our free portfolio reviews for people, risk reviews, and we'll just give you the information. It's not a trick. Just give us a call. And you can talk to me and we'll go through your portfolio and how we do it differently. I can send you the performance data on that algorithmic trading program that we're starting to integrate into our portfolios. And you can call us at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Anyway, stick with us through the break. We got to run. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Well, we're back, and it feels good to be back. Been off the air for the last couple weeks. Got preempted by the Cougar games, which is fine. Go Cougs, right? I'm a dog fan myself, but I sympathize with you Cougar fans. But anyway, as always, guys, I want to remind you, you can go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can access all of our podcasts, all of the segments we've done. I think we're over 200 now. Got quite a list. You can always give us a call to 866-779-RISK. We always, every week, I think we hold up We had to lower it a little bit because the schedule's gotten so busy. But we've got about 15 slots a week, 15-minute slots that we hold open for KTTH listeners who want to call in and get the free 15-minute consultation slash portfolio review, right? Where we look at what you're invested in, we tell you how it matches up against our model, and then we provide you the data, just the performance data. Here it is. Here's the portfolio. Size it up. Show you the expense, net of fee, rate of return, you know, the whole shoot match. And usually we stack up pretty good. So I'd encourage you to take a look, get a second opinion. But anyway, want to get into the rest of the show here. Want to talk about another term that clients need to understand. And it's a term that gets thrown around a lot, and it always frustrates me when it gets used the wrong way. Because it's very important, whether you understand it or not. And the term is absolute return. And what absolute return is referring to, what we refer to it in the professional money management business, is the return that an asset class gets over a specific period of time. All right, so we can talk about long-term average rates of return, but we can talk about absolute return. And absolute return is really the most important thing for those planning for retirement, in retirement, close to retirement. Because absolute return, the return minus the ups and downs, means more to us than an 80-year average. You don't retire over 80 years. Okay, so to use an average over an 80-year period of time and to peg your portfolio to that average doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, if the most important performance in your life in terms of investing, now, there's a lot of arguments to either side, okay? But if we're looking in simple terms, if we're looking at absolute return, the most important performance period in your saving for retirement is between age 50 and age 70, right? Because that basically sets the stage for how we're invested the rest of our lives, how much risk we can take, what levels of income we're going to start retirement with. That's the most important thing. So we need to be looking at absolute return, and we need to be breaking it down into smaller segments. Because again, if we're basing it off a long rate of return like the S&P over 90 years, well, that's important information we need to look at. But what if the 20 years of your life, and guys, this just happened. How many people do we know had to go back to work, right? Had to become a greeter at Walmart, right? Had to take a second job. Because all of a sudden, their retirement plans got waylaid. It happened in 99. It happened in 2008. And the way that that gets dismissed, and people, I've heard people sit there and go, well, you can't count 08, 09. That's an anomaly. It'll never happen again. Really? Do you want to bet the rest of your financial life on that? Because as a guy that has dedicated his entire life to studying the market, you can't just count on the ups, guys. There will be another crash. There will be another crisis. Chances are it won't be exactly like or probably not even similar to the last one. But markets are much like life, right? Everything's like a coiled spring. When we push too far the other way, you're going to get that coiled spring is going to pop at some point. And if you look at the rate of return on the S&P 500 specifically over the last 10 years, or 9 if you want to be really specific, the idea that you're going to carry forward that 11% average that so many of these advisors talk about over the next 10 years, the odds are infinitesimal. And that's not me throwing an opinion out there. Just go look at the data. I always tell people, I go, look, we're an open book. We're totally transparent. The opinions you hear me talk about are not things that I heard at my grandfather's knee. They're not things that I learned in broker training. They're not sales techniques that Wells Fargo taught me on how to push portfolios on people. It's based on the facts. That's why I always say, let's get the opinions out of here and let's talk about the facts. Right? Let's look at the data. Let's not talk about, as it relates to your financial well-being, the legacy you're leaving for your grandchildren, the life that you live in retirement. Are we going to leave that up just anecdotal catchphrases? And 100-year rates of return? If we're looking at a 90-year rate of return, what good does that do you if you retire during the 120-year segment that vastly deviates from the long-term average? It does nothing. So we need to be focused on absolute returns. We need to be focused on risk managed points, meaning that if we put a portfolio together and we know that you can't get the income you need off your portfolio if you suffer a 40% loss, then let's construct a portfolio that can't have a 40% loss. Right? And then people go, well, you're trying to time the market. No, we're not. We're sitting there saying, look, the one thing I know for certain is if you lose 40%, you don't get to live the retirement you want. What good is it if I put together a portfolio that still leaves that risk on the table? Right? What am I doing? What is any advisor doing that puts together a portfolio like that? So we need to be looking at absolute return. The other thing we need to be considered with is a term called real return. And what real return is the amount your assets go up on an annual basis minus the inflation rate. What are we talking about today in the market update? Guys, I'm not making a prediction either. I'm not calling a shot. You know, I'm not saying do this, do that, buy this. But inflation is picking up. It is. And some of you macroeconomic, Keynesian economic types out there are probably sitting there going, yeah, that means growth is coming. Well, guys, I hate to tell you, but there's a lot of times where inflation was not commensurate with growth, meaning that inflation, I mean, if you don't believe me, look at the period of 1972 to 1986, 87. Right? That was a period of time for the most part, especially in the early 80s and late 70s, where inflation was killing growth. Right? Look at the Weimar Republic, you know, Germany post-World War One, and that's a hyperinflation scenario. And I'm not suggesting that's what's, you know, going to happen or that's how it's going to play out. Is it a possibility? Well, I think you'd be crazy not to think it is, right? What is it? Since the great financial collapse, central banks together have created about $20 trillion in new sovereign currency, fiat currency. It's something we should consider. It's certainly something that we should build into the stress test of a portfolio. Right? Because we've gone through a period of pretty muted inflation. Especially considering the growth, especially from the mid-90s to the, you know, mid-2000s. So it should certainly be something that's built in there. But, you know, I hear all the time, clients sit there and go, well, yeah, you know, I got crushed in 08, 09. But look, you know, I bounced back and I'm 40% higher than I was at the peak. No, you're not. Well, what do you mean? Yes, I am. Look, you know, I had $1 million then. I got 1.4 million now. I go, okay, let's look at a couple things, five different things. I want to look at the price of cars. I want to look at the price of gas. I want to look at the price of food. I want to look at the nominal tax rate you're in. That doesn't have a lot to do with inflation, but it's something that we should consider, especially in retirement planning, right? Let's look at the cost of education. So we're already at five. Let's look at the cost of, we all know that story. So what is that number? What is that price increase on real estate, cars, everything? Maybe it's not 40%. Maybe it doesn't completely wash out that gain for that guy that had that $1 million. Now he's got 1.4. But his real return is not 40% because his money doesn't go as far. And these are things that we need to be talking about, especially for those of you that are relying on things like CDs, which probably not a lot of you are because it's, I mean, you know, what's the point when you're getting 1.2%, right? And then for those of you who aren't, though, maybe a lot of you are in high yield, you know, bonds, high yield now paying like, you know, 5.5-6% on average, which is ridiculously low. Maybe there's still some muni bond ladders out there. Those carry with them a lot of risk that nobody's talking about. And for that, I just say, guys, who do you think funds these pensions, right? We hear all, again, Google this stuff. Look at all the underfunded pensions out there. Who's on the hook for the majority of them? The municipalities. And they're the ones that we're trusting to buy these bonds with, right? And again, I'm not saying there's going to be a muni bond collapse. I'm not Meredith Whitney, who was sitting there saying 2009, 2010, muni bonds are going to blow up. But these risks are something we need to consider. And why? Well, just the fact that your financial future relies on it. That's sort of a marginally important thing to consider, right? And like we always say, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Nobody does. What we do know is that we're way off the beaten path. And if financial history is any guide to the future, what it tells us is anytime we're way outside the norms, first of all, expecting normal results is foolish. And B, security is probably more valuable than most people realize. Right? So it comes down to what? Again, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but risk management. How is the level of risk relating to both your absolute returns and your real returns? And are you being properly compensated for the risk you receive or the returns you're receiving and the risk that you're taking? And what I'll tell you is probably 97% of the clients we meet with, they might have done well since the 09 collapse. They might have a good annual rate of return. But when we look at their absolute returns and their real returns, they're horrible when you consider the amount of risk they're exposed to. Bottom line. And they're paying too much for it. So anyway, stick around. We still got the conversation with Dory coming up. If you want to call and hear some about more about some of these tools that we're talking about, some of the ways that we manage risk and drastically reduce cost, which is the easiest way to increase returns, right? Reduce cost. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can hear more of our segments. Like I said, there's about 200 of them. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. Get on our podcast page or our iTunes page. You can listen to different interviews we've done with economists and all the different topics we've addressed. So don't go anywhere. We got an in-studio conversation coming up with Dory Monson, our most well-known client. And then the final segment of the show, there's a tool that we use that everybody needs to know about. And I'm going to tell you about it. And I, for the vast majority of you out there, you need to hear this. You need to be aware of it because most people aren't aware. And it could be a very valuable tool to your retirement. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Without further ado, it's the man of the hour or the man of the week. Or,
you know,
pick your time frame.
I think everyone's getting sick of these flowery introductions of me. I'm here so often that I don't know that I'm worthy of so many intros.
Well, we've got a lack of talent here on our show, Dory, and we've got to inject some here with some real professionals. Yeah. But so what we're talking about this week is, and you and I have talked about this a lot, preservation of loss, right, or preservation of capital. And what an impact that not taking those big disastrous losses happens in the long run.
Sure.
Right? And what that looks like 20, 30 years out. And you and I have talked about it. We were going over that quantitative strategy, but you know, you can see that while so many investors focus on the performance in the up market, or I made 18% last year, right? One of the biggest deciding factors is, okay, but how do you look in the down markets?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Preserving your portfolio against those catastrophic losses.
Yeah, it's not that tough to make 30% in a great market if you lose 40% in down market.
Right,
if you're taking those kinds of risks. And that's why, you know, and as you know, because you and I talk about it a lot, Zach, and I talk about it with my kids a lot, that you just want to have a strategy, a plan going in. You want to stick to it. Too many people are, you know, they're just whipsawed by markets going up. And then they plunge at the wrong time. They plunge at the top. Or the market's going down and they sell everything at the bottom. And when people panic, it's usually a result of not having a plan, and not having a plan makes you susceptible to emotion, and emotion is what brings most people down from accomplishing what their goals are.
Right, and one of the things we've talked a lot about on the show, but you and I have also talked about in that vein, is that getting clients to think about that before, right? Like not buying insurance after the fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, that preservation aspect of it, you shouldn't start chasing a market that's hot, and you shouldn't start selling indiscriminately because it's going down. We need to think a little bit opposite, right? Where in 2009 with our clients, it was, no, we're buying. Just close your eyes. We got to go in there and buy. There's great value.
Sure.
Today, it's the flip side. We're not, we can't predict crashes. Nobody can predict market movements. But we're sitting there going, look, people, this stuff is valued richer than it's ever been. The focus right now should be on preservation.
Yeah, well, it's like when people go to the store, and if something is priced way more than you think you should pay, you simply don't buy it.
Right.
Unfortunately, people don't do that in the stock market. And it's the same thing when something's on a big sale, that's when you pick it up. But it's the opposite for many investors. When everything's on sale, they say, "Oh no, I don't want to buy right now." Just compare it to when you go to the grocery store, the department store, and you see something that's price is wildly out of whack, and you make your decision accordingly. Well, you should do the same thing with stocks, but when it comes to investing, people usually do the exact opposite of
right,
that.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's where you just come up with a good, solid, long-term plan, stick with it, and I think you do a fantastic job with that for all of your clients.
Well, thank you. And I think one of the other things that we've spent a lot of time talking about is that getting a little bit more secure or limiting that downside, it doesn't have to mean lack of returns. Right.
Right. There, yeah.
Quite frequently we lower clients' fees when we increase the performance of the portfolio, but we also make it more secure. And it just has to do with what are you using, right? It's. I just feel like too often it's binary, right? If we're secure or we're more stable, well, that means we're not going to make any money.
Sure.
No, yeah. That's not necessarily the case, and it's usually not. There's just smart things that we can do to limit that downside exposure. And like we said, that was kind of the mind frame that we were talking about all day on the show, is approaching things with the right idea, right? It's not all or nothing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I've seen all the news stories, and there certainly are some, indicators that suggest that there could be some tough times ahead.
Yeah.
But I've thought that for a while because it's been such an overpriced market. So I think that and I've seen the stuff, you and I have talked a lot about the stuff that you do for people so that they can be protected if it goes down, but still get some upside when things are going roaring ahead. So yeah, I like that. I like that plan, and I think that it's just a solid strategy for people. And man, if somebody plunges right now, I'd be real nervous. And I may have told you this. I may have even talked about it last time we were on the air together. But one of my daughters, who I've talked to so much about just being a good, steady investor and have a plan, stick
yeah.
with it. She goes, "Do you think I should invest in Bitcoin?" and she said, "It was 30 cents a few years ago, and it's 4,000 now." And I said, "Honey, look, we've been talking about this for years."
Yeah, yeah.
That no, you don't chase something like that, especially something that has a price that fluctuates, $300 or $400 a day.
And how old is your daughter?
This is my 23-year-old.
Oh, so my 27-year-old sister just told me last night that 2 weeks ago she invested $4,000 in a couple different Ethereum and Litecoin, two different, but the same thing,
yeah,
right?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. And there are people, I guess, who are making money on that.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the same people who, the one out of 50 who walks away from the roulette table a winner.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
Because
yeah,
it's about the same thing.
Yeah, well, and we were saying that, I've done a lot of research into cryptocurrencies, right? Like, there's nothing there. There's no there there.
Well, there's no underlying value.
Right.
Yeah, and so when you're buying something just because everybody else is buying it,
tulip mania.
That's the worst thing you can possibly do. And so yeah, it's very funny. And I said, "Look, I'm going to send you a couple." I sent her a couple of stories about it. She, yeah, I get it. But that's the thing. I've been talking to my kids about this for years because I want them to be financially educated. And even with all of my steady guiding counseling, Zach, they still, she was you know, at least somewhat receptive to this idea that, man, maybe I should get in on this. And I talked her out of it.
The lure that, well done, sir. Yeah, I just spent the last 10 minutes trying to talk everybody out of it and trying to.
Oh, that's funny. I had no idea you were talking about that in your last segment. That's really funny.
And you probably are, but you're familiar with the whole tulip mania thing.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
And I would challenge every investor, if you're not familiar with that story, I mean, I think it's an incredibly powerful and impactful story that everybody that invests should know about that.
Yeah.
But go Google tulip mania and go read about it. This is not new. This is not the first
centuries old. Yeah.
Right. It's been happening for a long time. So check it out. But anyway, I appreciate that. And way to fight against the cryptocurrency war that I'm waging constantly.
Yeah, it's just silliness. You're buying ether.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's new one. The new one that came out a week ago was the name of the coin is the F word.
Okay.
And it's up 300% in the last 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, well, of course it is. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, there are certainly people who are making money, but it's usually the people who are starting these cryptocurrencies. I mean, it's like a Ponzi scheme at that point.
Yeah.
And so that's not the way to go. Just have a good, solid plan,
stick with it,
and get some good advice. And that's where Zach comes in.
That's right. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate you coming to visit, and I encourage all of you to stick with us. We'll be right back after this break. And thank you, Dory.
Thanks, Zach.
And you're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, let's get right into it. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't heard the show before, you can always give us a call at 866-779-RISK, get your free risk review, or we just do a side-by-side portfolio comparison on using the tools that we talk about on the show compared to what you've done. And it's just naked performance, guys. So what we show you is our performance net of fees, and the way that we put portfolios together, and we compare them with yours. And the vast majority of time, we can drastically reduce your exposure to risk and really dramatically lower your costs too. So, and it's not crazy stuff. You know, people are always amazed. They're like, oh, I thought it'd be more complicated. And I'm like, no, it's just, there's a lot of anomalies today. There's a lot of weird things going on, especially as it relates to traditional asset management, stocks and bonds. And there are a ton of people out there that aren't taking enough risk, aren't making enough money. And on the flip side, there are even more people out there taking way too much risk based on their investor profile, based on their retirement income needs, and paying too much to take all that risk. And it's not a well-balanced, risk-balanced approach. It's just not. And investors always lose sight of that, right? When we get into market highs like this, where we're making new highs and all-time high valuations and everything looks great and everybody's making money, everybody quits thinking about the downside. And then the downside happens. And like I always say, everybody wants to buy insurance after the fire. So what's the proper way to go about it? It's risk management. It just is. Make sure you're not exposed too much. There are times to be more risky. There are times to be less risky. And guys, when markets are all-time highs and all-time high valuations, don't take my word for it. Go take a walk down Wall Street memory lane and just look at it. Right? You should be more cautious. Higher things go, the further they can fall. So that leads us to another product. Now, I talk about this. We've talked about these kinds of things before. We've run a segment a lot of times called the dirtiest word in investing. And I was explaining to a client the other day, I don't even like talking about this because I was raised, for those of you that don't know, I grew up in a brokerage firm. My father and grandfather started a brokerage firm in 1983. There's the two tall buildings right across the street from the SeaTac Airport. 13 coins in the bottom floor, right? Many of you have been there. Love that restaurant, by the way. But anyway, their office was in the top there. They were a pretty big player back then because there weren't a lot of regional brokerage firms. But I literally grew up in a brokerage firm. Studied finance and economics and played football at Pacific Lutheran University. And so this is all I've done. I never considered doing anything else. And a mantra that I was taught growing up, a mantra that I was taught in training and financial training when I was getting my licenses and my designations, that real investors only look at, you know, securities, right? We don't look at CDs. We don't look at insurance products for investments. And we just thumb our nose because it's high fees, it's low rate of return, you got to ride the averages, all that kind of stuff, right? Well, what's the truth? Well, the truth is it depends. And this is something that we can't, it still amazes me. But we approach this with a lot of reluctance. And this whole search for us for new ways to do things started with our risk management model. Meaning in 2011, 2012, we were looking at a real problem, which is our traditional way to manage risk wasn't working. And the reason it wasn't working is because interest rates were at record lows, bonds were at record highs. So the bond portion of the portfolio wasn't producing anywhere near its historic average rate of return. Right? And not only that, but what are we all worried about? Rising interest rates. They're at 3,000-year lows. They got to go up at some point. And when interest rates rise, bonds lose value. So we started looking at alternatives. And we considered, you know, insurance products, all this other kind of stuff. And what we found, guys, is there's a lot of interesting products out there. And let me tell you about one. And for those of you interested, you know, give us a call. And I think a lot more people should be interested than are. But there is a product now offered by Nationwide, an insurance company. And this is the summary of the product. I'm not advocating it. I'm not telling you to go out and buy it. I'm just telling you about the product. Okay? It gives you 60% of the upside in the S&P 500. If the S&P goes up 10% a year, you make 6. If it goes up 20, you make 12. I think that's the right math. It charges no annual fee, no upfront fee, and it insures you against loss. This is Nationwide, guys. This isn't some fly-by-night gimmick. These products exist. They're out there. Do I think you should sell your stocks and put all your money in that product? No, not generally. I'm a big stock believer. That's why I got in the business. That's why I study finance. That's why I read the economic, you know, we're talking about Fed chairman. You know, I still believe that stocks should and need to be a big part of most of your retirement plans. At the same time, with record low bond rates, most of you going more into stocks because bonds aren't paying any, should you consider something like this? Yeah, and I'll tell you why. It's risk management. If you currently have 80% stocks, 20% bonds, and the majority of your stocks are focused and heavily weighted into S&P 500 companies, which 95% of clients that we meet are, you can throttle back that risk. You can get rid of your 20% of bonds. You can put 40% of your money in a product like this S&P, that product by Nationwide. So now you've got 40% in this product by Nationwide that's guaranteed and insured against loss. You got 60% in the market, and you're making the same rate of return as you were when you were 80% stocks, 20% bonds. More importantly, you're paying less in fees. So your real rate of return, or your absolute return, talked about that in the last segment, is higher. And you've got 20% less of your capital exposed to risk. And that's it. If you want to hear about that product or how we integrate that in your financial plan, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, or go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com, and schedule a complimentary portfolio review or even a meeting, and we can walk you through it. There are different ways to approach it, guys. There are many ways to skin a cat. Hopefully, we've given you some of those, and hopefully, we can show them to you. Anyway, have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.